The 1991 Eurovision Song Contest is both famous and infamous for a number of reasons. On this week's episode of ESC 101, we're going to be ignoring most of the drama and instead looking at the part of the contest that is often forgotten, the postcard segments in between each entrant. Benvenuto a Italia. This is ESC 101. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to ESC 101, your home of Eurovision history and obscurity. This is the podcast where we take a look at the Eurovision Song Contest throughout the years to uncover the story behind the world's largest international televised music competition. Welcome to episode 18. My name is Alexander. This is the final episode of 2023. I want to thank each and every single one of you, whether this is your very first episode or your 18th or anything in between. It has been an incredible 4 months for me, and I'm excited to enter 2024 with even more obscure stories in Eurovision history. Let's jump right into the story behind the postcards of the 1991 Eurovision Song Contest. If you haven't had a chance to listen to episode 9, where we've covered the postcards of 1979, here's a little refresher on what the postcard segments are. It's tradition for there to be a small segment in between each entrant in the Eurovision Song Contest, usually less than a minute, to allow the artists and their props to get off the stage and allow the next act to get onto the stage. This transition period would normally be a lull in between songs, so producers use the term postcards as a way to fill in the space. Not every contest has had postcards, and in fact, the first contest to have a segment in between songs that wasn't simply filming the audience or the host introducing the songs was 1970, and there are some contests after 1970 that don't use postcards, but it's a regular tradition today. Now that you're caught up, let's head over to Rome and examine the postcards of the Eurovision Song Contest 1991. So, I couldn't find any actual information on who came up with the postcard ideas, who took the photos of the various images, or who recorded the artists featured on the cards themselves. If you happen to know anything about that, please let me know, because I am genuinely curious. But what we do know is that each postcard features the entrant singing a song in the Italian language. I speculate that the executives at RAI, the Italian broadcaster, wanted to showcase Italian culture as much as possible, especially since Italy has only hosted the contest one other time up until that point, which was in 1965. With a country as lightly showcased as Italy, at least in the context of hosting the Eurovision Song Contest, I imagine making it as Italian as possible was a dream for RAI executives, and they certainly got their wish, albeit at the dismay of Eurovision fans everywhere. Don't worry, the stories of the 1991 Eurovision Song Contest will get their future episodes one day, but today we are focusing on the postcards, which is the least controversial part of the whole show, but you'll probably find out soon that that's not really worth saying much. Each postcard features a collage of images and a video recording of the entrant in a recording studio singing the Italian song of what I assume is their choice. The hosts speak in Italian, naturally, and they do explain what the postcards are, but again, it's in the Italian language. I went ahead and managed to translate what they said into English, which, as a Canadian that has not studied any foreign languages other than French, was no easy task. I'm sure for those of you who speak Italian and English, this would be no problem, but for me, it was quite the task. In essence, what they said was the following. All the singers will present themselves with an illustrated postcard where you will see images of the most beautiful city in the world, which is Rome, and then they will also give you a gift for our Italian music. It will help you get in touch with the artists before their performance, and there will be a tribute to Italian songs. I would like to point out that there are some postcards which do not feature images from Rome, and I'll comment on that when it comes up. But with that being said, let's go ahead and explore the postcards of the 1991 Eurovision Song Contest. The first postcard features the entrant of Yugoslavia.
No, no, visto che sorpresa, eh?
This postcard features Baby Doll singing the song Non ho l'età, originally sung by Gignola Cinquetti, the winner of the Eurovision Song Contest 1964 and one of the hosts of the contest. Gignola sings her entry just before the host's little speech, introducing the first postcard, and hearing Baby Doll singing this makes me feel like the laziest choice ever. There's such a variety of Italian songs out there, including Italian Eurovision entries, and you choose the one song that one of the hosts is known for. It feels like a comparison in vocal capabilities. All of the songs in the postcards are more modern versions of the songs, using synthesized instruments rather than a traditional orchestra. It's a modern take on Gignola's song, and she even giggles when she hears that it was her song that was chosen, even seeing the whoa at the very end. I don't know if she was doing it to mock her or if it was done in a bemusing way. Perhaps Baby Doll didn't know that Gignola was hosting and it was just a random coincidence, but it doesn't look good on camera. The postcard itself features the Roman Colosseum, a block of Latin text, and the Pyramid of Cestius, which is a tomb constructed in 12 BC as a tomb for Gaius Cestius. The general background is a cloudscape, and there are two flowers on the right side, one pink and one yellow. Baby Doll's name is written diagonally running up and to the right, and the flag of Yugoslavia flies for the final time. The following year, the star on the flag is removed and the tricolor remains. Overall, it is a bright postcard, and Baby Doll sings the song fairly well, but I would have chosen a different song altogether. The second postcard features the entrant of Iceland. Se bastasse una bella canzone a far piovere amore, si potrebbe cantarla un milione di volte, bastasse già, bastasse già. This postcard features Stefan and Effie singing the song Se bastasse una canzone, originally sung by Eros Ramazzotti in 1990. The postcard features the Trevi Fountain, the right hand of the Colossus of Constantine, which is a ruined fragment of a larger statue which depicted the Roman Emperor Constantine the Great. This statue originally stood near the Forum Romanum, with the fragments now residing in the courtyard of the Palazzo di Conservatori, part of the Capitoline Museums on Capitoline Hill on the west end of the Forum, as well as a sketch of the Roman Colosseum, which we just saw in the previous postcard. The postcard's background is mostly black with a small blue section in the top right corner, and the Icelandic flag flies free. Considering this song was released a year before the postcard was recorded, it may not be an example of quote-unquote classic Italian music, but rather it's an example of the modern Italian music market, showing European audiences that Italian music is for everyone, both old and young. Overall, it's a nice postcard and it's enjoyable. Their voices are a bit on the raspy side, but I think that works for them. The third postcard features the entrant of Malta. This postcard features Paul Giordimania and Georgina Abella singing the song Questo Piccolo Grande Amore, originally sung by Claudio Baglioni in 1972 and was Song of the Century in Sanremo 1985. This postcard does not actually feature anything from Italy, as the three images shown in this postcard come from Vatican City, the world's smallest country, and is in fact not part of either Rome or Italy. It is a fully independent sovereign country that is surrounded by, but is not part of, Rome. While I understand that Rome likes to claim that Vatican City is an integral part of its city, it is in fact its own separate country, and passing off Vatican City as Italian is factually incorrect and, in my humble opinion, irresponsible on an educational level. Vatican City is a sovereign country. It is a member of the EBU, with Radio Vaticana representing the Vatican State on the EBU's website list of members. It is not part of Italy. It is not covered by RAI, and it has the right to participate in Eurovision as Vatican City if it so chooses. I hope that one day we get to see an entry from Vatican City, but the likelihood of that happening is next to zero. So Pope Francis and Radio Vaticana, prove me wrong. This postcard features St. Peter's Basilica, taken from St. Peter's Square, as well as an image of a papal Swiss guard and one of the holy water stoops from the entrance of the central nave of St. Peter's Basilica. Holy water stoops are vessels containing holy water, placed at the entrances of churches to allow visitors to dip their fingers into the water and make the sign of the cross, as a reminder of one's baptism. This is typically a tradition of the Roman Catholic sect of Christianity and is not really typical for Protestants. And of course, the Maltese flag flies and the two singers sing their song in the bottom left corner. The background is dark and the shot of St. Peter's Basilica is during sunset, which is honestly a beautiful photo, but it is not part of Rome. It is just surrounded by it. They sing their song nicely. I feel like Georgiana's voice is slightly louder compared to Paul's, but they do blend nicely. I have no complaints over their singing, but I do have a problem with Italy trying to pass off another country's monuments and architecture as their own. The fourth postcard features the entrant from Greece. All I can say about this postcard is that this is vocal perfection. It is a crime to have the instrumentation louder than this angelic voice. And in my not-so-humble opinion, whoever sound mixed this postcard, which is pre-recorded, by the way, either needs to go back to audio engineering school or find another profession. The song that Sofia Vosu sings is Caruso, originally sung by Lucio Dalla in 1986. The song depicts the story of a dying man looking into the eyes of a girl who was dear to him, and the way that Sofia sings this song expresses the tragic nature of the song so beautifully. It is ethereal, spiritual, and her vocal control, especially at the end, feels more like a gentle breeze of tranquility than a human voice. Moving past her vocal perfection, this postcard features an image of Castel Sant'Angelo, a mausoleum commissioned by Roman Emperor Hadrian in 135 AD, with the castle functioning today as a museum of ancient Rome. It also has a statue, which I've tried to figure out who it depicts. I'm sure someone out there could instantly identify it, but I haven't been able to figure it out. The statue is standing on a pedestal depicting a matured, beardless man. Not much else I can say about the statue. And finally, the postcard also features two roses laid across the top of the image, and the Greek flag flies free in the bottom center of the card, with Sofia singing in the bottom corner. The card uses the bright cloud background, which, considering Sophia's angelic voice, fits the mood perfectly. I love the Greek postcard, and I love Sophia's voice. The fifth postcard features the entrant of Switzerland.
Un'estate,
This postcard features Sandra Simo singing the song Un'estate Italiana, originally sung by Eduardo Benato and Gianna Nannini in 1989, and served as the official song of the 1990 FIFA World Cup held in Italy. Sandra's voice is beautiful in this rendition and comes out crystal clear. The images on the postcard featured a ruined set of columns. I have no idea exactly where they are, as the image is completely dark and is only an outline of columns against a painted sunset background, so they may not exist at all. It also features yet another image of St. Peter's Basilica, which I'm not going to rant on about again, you already heard my thoughts on that, and the Swiss flag flies free, or rather a rectangular Swiss flag, as traditionally the flag of Switzerland and, funny enough, Vatican City, are squares rather than rectangles, but since the Swiss flag I bought from Zurich and the Vatican flag, which I bought just outside the country in a shop across the street in Rome, is rectangular, I guess I can't complain too much. The postcard is darker in the background, and it's nicely designed, albeit educationally incorrect. The sixth postcard features the entrant from Austria.
Ancora una canzone del nostro.
This postcard features Thomas Forstner singing the song Adesso Tu, originally sung by Eros Ramazzotti in 1986. The song won the 1986 Sanremo Music Festival, and had Italy decided to enter Eurovision that year, would have probably been their entry that year. Thomas sings it in a very 1990s tone, his falsetto note at the end is lovely, and I enjoy his rendition. What I don't enjoy is Italy's broadcaster lying for the third time. This postcard features the Trinità dei Monti, a late Renaissance titular church. While yes, the physical building is located inside Rome, the church is not Italian. The church and the surrounding area literally, physically, and legally belongs to France. Yeah, I thought that was weird too, but it's actually true. In 1502, Louis XII of France began construction of the Church of the Trinità dei Monti next to a monastery to celebrate his successful invasion of Naples. I imagine most conquerors would probably want to have, like, I don't know, a gold statue or a succulent feast filled with food or perhaps just a really nice long warm bath, but apparently the King of France likes to build churches when he conquers lands, so I don't know, to each their own. Unfortunately, this went nowhere, and the current church was built on the orders of Pope Sixtus V. During the Napoleonic occupation of Rome, the church was looted, and in 1816 the church was restored at the expense of King Louis XVIII. By the diplomatic conventions of the 14th of May and the 8th of September 1828, between the Holy See, basically the government of the Catholic Church, and the government of France, the church and monastery were entrusted to the Religieux du Sacré-Cœur de Jésus, the Society of the Sacred Heart, a French religious order for the purpose of educating young girls. This arrangement lasted until 2003, when the Religieux du Sacré-Cœur de Jésus decided to withdraw, and a new agreement between Vatican City and France entrusted the church to the monastic fraternities of Jerusalem in September 2006. 10 years later, the care of the church was entrusted to the Emmanuel community and continues as of the recording of this episode. So yes, although on a technicality the building exists on Italian soil and sits within Roman territory, the building itself is French. It belongs to France. I would honestly be okay if this was featured in the French postcard, but trying to pass off a French-owned church as Italian is, in my humble opinion, educationally incorrect. Putting that rant to the side, the postcard also features the Fontana della Barcaccia, built in 1629, which sits at the foot of the Spanish Steps. And the statue in the bottom left is featured on the Fountain of Neptune, once called the Fontana dei Calderari. There is a yellow flower in the center, and Thomas sings in the top left corner. The Austrian flag flies on the bottom left, and the background is bright. Overall, a nice collection in this postcard, but I'm still salty about the misleading origins of the Trinità dei Monti. The seventh postcard features the entrant of Luxembourg. This postcard features Sarah Bray singing the song Sarà perché ti amo, originally sung by Ricci e Poveri in 1981. The song placed fifth in the 1981 Sanremo Music Festival. One thing that bugs me about this postcard is that they are using the flag of the Netherlands rather than the flag of Luxembourg. Look, I know the two flags look way too similar, but if you look at the postcard, you clearly see that they're using Dutch blue rather than Luxembourgish blue, which is a way lighter shade of blue, similar to a sky blue rather than the deeper blue used in this postcard. While the Netherlands didn't participate this year, I am a stickler for accuracy, and I would like to see people use the proper shade of blue for the Luxembourgish flag. With their return in 2024, I sincerely hope the Swedish broadcaster uses the correct shade of blue. The images featured on this postcard include the Basilica of Santa Maria Maggiore, one of the pilgrim churches of Rome and the largest Catholic Marian church in Rome, constructed in 435 AD, with the current facade completed in 1743, as well as a horse-drawn carriage on a random street in Rome. The card also features a branch with flowers on it, and Sarah singing in the center right of the postcard. She sounds fantastic. The flag, not so much. The eighth postcard features the entrant of Sweden. This postcard features Carola singing the song Non voglio mica la luna, originally sung by Fiordalzio in 1984. The song placed fifth in the 1984 Sanremo Music Festival. This postcard is probably the favorite of my friend Jack Eaton, who is a Carola superfan. Shout out to you. This postcard features another image of the Trevi Fountain. Again, did they run out of things to show? For a city like Rome, there should be endless things to show off. It does show off the statue of Capitolone She-Wolf, also known as the Statue of Romulus and Remus, which is an iconic symbol of the city of Rome, so I guess there is originality here. A row of roses flows across the top of the postcard, and Carola sings beautifully in the bottom left, with the flag of Sweden flying proudly. I love Carola's voice at the end, very typical of her music style, and she is a Eurovision icon for a reason. The ninth postcard features the entrant from France. This postcard features Amina singing the song La Partizia di Pallone, originally sung by Rita Pavone in 1962. The postcard features four statue heads. I have no idea who they are, as well as a fountain, which I don't know exactly which one it is. It kind of looks like the Neptune fountain, but I can't say for certain. Much like Amina's voice, this postcard is full of beauty and mystery. She sings her tune nicely and she poses at the end in such a sultry way. I am living for it. The card features two roses and the French flag flies freely. The postcard is dark and beautifully put together. The 10th postcard features the entrance of Turkey. Amore, scusami, se sto piangendo, amore, scusami, ma ho capito che lasciandoti io soffrirò. This postcard features, and please bear with me with these Turkish names, Can Uglahur, İzhel Selikoz, and Reyhan Karaka. Apologies for the Turkish people for butchering your language. They sing the song Amore Scusami, originally sung by John Fossati in 1964. This postcard features the Piazza del Campidoglio, a public square on the top of the ancient Capitoline Hill between the Roman Forum and the Campus Martinus, built in the 16th century. It also features a random fountain in front of the plaza and a sketch of a lantern on the top right. The trio sings the song wonderfully. Their voices blend well together, and of course the Turkish flag flies in the wind. This postcard has a darker tone, and it looks good for the Turkish entry. The 11th postcard features the entrant of Ireland. This postcard features Kim Jackson singing the song Nel Blu Dipinto di Blu, originally sung by Domenico Modugno in 1958. You may remember this song as the Grammy-winning entry of the Eurovision Song Contest 1958. Be sure to check out episode 7, where we looked at the life of Domenico Modugno and his three Eurovision entries. This postcard features the Altar della Patria, also known as the Victor Emmanuel II National Monument, which was built between 1889 and 1935 to honor the first king of a unified Italy, Victor Emmanuel II. It also features two flowers and Kim Jackson singing in the bottom left corner. This is the barest postcard I've seen so far, and unfortunately Kim's singing does not make up for its lack of imagery. I do not enjoy this rendition of Eurovision's most famous song. Her voice is so two-dimensional, it lacks depth, and I'm wildly speculating that she chose this song because lyrically it would have been the easiest to sing since it's so well known. The tone of her voice is so plain, and perhaps it's just the sound of the 1990s, it just doesn't sound good. You can also see her practically staring off camera as she's reading the lyric sheet, at least that's what I'm assuming that she's reading. If that's the case, if you need the lyric sheet to sing Eurovision's most famous song, there is a problem. The Irish flag is the most enjoyable part of this postcard, and so far, this is the dullest one that I've seen. The 12th postcard features the entrant of Portugal. Di This postcard features Dolce singing the song Dio Come Ti Amo, originally sung by Domenico Modugno and Gianola Cinquetti in 1966. More love for Domenico, as this song was the Italian entry for the Eurovision Song Contest 1966. Again, check out episode 7 to hear my thoughts on that entry. Spoiler alert, I prefer Gignola's version. Compared to the last postcard, this sounds 10 times better. I love her voice in the song. I still prefer Gignola's version of the song, but this is a billion times better than Domenico's version. It features the statue of Marforio, one of the talking statues of Rome located inside the Palazzo Nuovo, constructed in the 1st century AD. This statue depicts Oceanus, the Titan son of Uranus and Gaia. The name Marforio is a corruption of the Latin phrase mare in foro, translated as the sea in the forum. A talking statue is basically the ancient equivalent of social media, serving as an outlet for anonymous political expression through criticisms in the form of poems and witticisms being posted on these kinds of statues. This particular statue is used to post responses to writings posted on another statue, Pasquino, creating a dialogue between the two statues. Basically, this is the ancient version of Reddit. This postcard also features the ruins of the Roman Forum, founded between the 8th century BC and 608 AD, used as a marketplace and commercial hub. And finally, this postcard features a sketch of a woman laying bare, and a Portuguese flag is prominently displayed. Lovely rendition from Dolce, and overall a nice postcard design. The 13th postcard features the entrant from Denmark.
Contiene sempre un motivo floreale per ricordarci Sanremo.
Il mistero è chiuso in me, il nome ire son saprà.
This postcard features Anders Franzen singing the song Nessun Dorma, originally sung in Giacomo Puccini's opera Turandot, which premiered in 1926, based on the play with the same name written in 1762 by Count Carlo Gozzi. Sadly, Puccini died before the opera was finished, and it was posthumously completed by Franco Alfano 2 years after Puccini's death. This features the oldest song out of the 22 postcards, and Anders' voice is amazing. Of course, being an operatic performance, it's a unique sound compared to the other postcards, and he interprets it beautifully. However, to whichever technician failed to mute Gignola's microphone, shame on you. You ruined what I believe is to be a staple example of Italian music and culture. The opera is a thing of beauty, but it was ruined by Gignola's nonsensical commentary, which is not her fault. How could she know if she was muted or not? As an audiovisual technician with 15 years of experience, this infuriates me. Not only because from where I'm standing, I'm an amateur compared to people who are working at a national broadcaster for an international event. I have never worked on something as large and important as Eurovision, but for the love of all that is good, pay attention to the soundboard and do your job. I would have fired you on the spot, and you would have never work in any town ever again. I feel like I should really space out the episodes covering the 1991 Eurovision Song Contest, otherwise it's just going to be me shouting at the microphone for hours on end. It features the Papale Archibicazilica Patricale Maggiore Catedrale Archipedrale di Santissimo Salvatore e di Santi Giovanni Battista ed Evangelischia in Laterno. The Archbasilica Cathedral of the Most Holy Savior and of Saints John the Baptist and the Evangelist in the Lateran. This building is the Catholic Cathedral Church of the Diocese of Rome and serves as the seat of the Bishop of Rome, who is the Pope. This building is the property of the Holy See, which is a term used to describe the central government of Vatican City. Basically, this building has extraterritorial status, meaning that Italy ceded some control of the building to the government of Vatican City, but Italy still technically owns the land which it sits upon. It's complicated, so I won't label this as an educational lie, but it borders on it really close. It also features a sketch of a church and has a picture of Michelangelo's Pietà, which is one of the most valuable sculptures in Rome, despite it not being contained in Rome. It is actually contained inside St. Peter's Basilica, which is part of Vatican City. This also borders on the not Italian, but it is Italian situation, so I'll let you draw your own conclusion. The Danish flag looks beautiful and the card has a lighter tone for the background. Nicely done, but Anders was robbed of his operatic performance. The 14th postcard features the entrant of Norway.
They just for fun.
This postcard features Just For Fun singing the song Santa Lucia, which is a traditional Neapolitan song translated by Teodoro Cottro into Italian and published in 1849. I'm going to shout out my friend Elizabeth Allen, who is, in my opinion, a cat whisperer. She loves cats, and this postcard features a lovely pair of cats prominently displayed on the bottom right. I can't be sure what the image on the top right is, but it's mostly a bridge over a river with a domed building, which I hope isn't part of Vatican City. Otherwise, I'm going to go on another rant. Thankfully, the cats and the flowers distract me, and the Norwegian group sings their song beautifully, especially for a 19th century piece. Very choral and beautifully blended. The Norwegian flag flies beautifully, just as the voices of Just For Fun. Terrible band name, though, but we'll move on. The 15th postcard features the entrant of Israel.
Lontana dagli occhi, lontana dal cuore, e tu sei lontana, lontana da me. Lontano dagli occhi, lontano dal cuore, e tu sei lontana, lontana da me.
Mi piace questa carta.
This postcard features Duo Dats singing the song Lontano dagli occhi, originally sung by Sergio Endrigo and Mary Hopkin in 1969. The song placed second in the 1969 Sanremo Music Festival. Sergio represented Italy at the Eurovision Song Contest in 1968, and Mary represented the United Kingdom at the Eurovision Song Contest in 1970. The group sings their song a cappella, which I think is a great idea. It allows for a diversity of songs and musical styles. So far, we've seen ballads, pop, opera, and now a cappella. The postcard is extremely dark, showing a shadowed Villa Borghese, Rome's third largest park, which sits along a beautifully grown garden, which features the Villa Borghese structure, which houses a gallery which contains classical artworks and antiquities, including an ancient mosaic. It also features the Fontana del Pantheon, originally designed in 1575. The marble figures at the fountain were removed in 1886 and replaced with copies, with the originals being housed in the Museum of Rome. The Fontana del Pantheon also serves as a model for the Roba Fountain, which stands in the town square of Ljubljana in Slovenia. A single rose lies across their names, which, although emphasizes the romantic chemistry between the two artists, if you already couldn't tell by their body language, turned out to be a complete waste, as they ended up getting divorced years later. The Israeli flag flies in the center, and I love Duo Dats' voices. They picked a song which has quite a romantic tone, which, knowing how their love story ends, feels a bit too saturated for me. The 16th postcard features the entrant from Finland. This postcard features Kaya singing the song Maruzella, originally sung by Renato Carosone in 1954. The postcard features the Pantheon, a former Roman temple which has served as a church since 609 AD, as well as another picture of the Fontana del Pantheon, this time from a different angle, and a sketch of the holy water stoop from the Maltese postcard, as well as the flag of Finland flying in the center. Kaya sings beautifully and does the song justice, but this postcard only has two original things on it, with one of them being the flag of Finland. Let's hope that there's more originality in the next postcard, because so far I am not impressed. The 17th postcard features the entrant from Germany. Lasciatemi cantare con la chitarra in mano. Lasciatemi cantare una canzone. Lasciatemi cantare, perché ne sono fiero, sono un italiano vero. Lasciatemi cantare, perché ne sono fiero, sono un italiano vero. This postcard features Atlantis 2000 singing the song L'Italiano, originally sung by Toto Cutugno in 1983. Toto is one of the hosts of the 1991 Eurovision Song Contest. All right, I'm going to keep this rant short. There are 7 people singing in this postcard. There are only 6 people allowed on stage. The gentleman on the bottom left of the group is not on stage. In fact, he is the conductor. But in no universe should the conductor be in this postcard shot. He needs to go. I don't care if he's a part of the group, he should not be on the postcard. There is a maximum amount of people on the stage, and there should also be a maximum amount of people on the postcard. Yes, the conductor is technically part of the group, but it's not in this competition. He is treated separately from the entry itself. You can make the argument the other way, but I'm just going to leave it there. Rant over, back to the postcard. This postcard features the Pantheon. Again. I'm containing my rants on reusing the same images over and over again. I'm moving forward. There's a sketch of, oh for goodness sakes, Michelangelo's Pietà, which is in the Vatican, which we already saw. This postcard gets a 0 out of 10, simply for the fact that it produced 3 rants in one segment. But thank goodness there's actually an original image in the bottom left corner. It depicts the Fountain of Lions in Popolo Square, created in 1572 by Pope Sixtus V's project of Giacomo della Porta, with the idea of creating a large monument to serve as the starting point of the Via Flaminia, one of the most important roads to the north, serving as the northern entrance to Rome. But this postcard still gets a 0 out of 10, despite actually having an original image featured on it. It is important to note that this is the first Eurovision Song Contest with a unified Germany. The two Germanies united with the 2+4 agreement signed on September 12, 1990, restoring full sovereignty to Germany, which came effective March 15, 1991, and the 1991 Eurovision Song Contest took place 2 months later on May 4th. I am happy for Germany's unification in Eurovision, allowing the eastern portion to join the Eurovision family, but whoever designed this postcard needs to find some creative inspiration because they don't have it. The 18th postcard features the entrant of Belgium. Musica è guardare più lontano e perdersi in se stessi. Luce che rinasce e coglierne riflessi. La musica è guardare più lontano e perdersi in sé.
se stessi. La luce che rinasce e coglierne i riflessi. Musica è.
This postcard features Closo singing the song Musica E, originally sung by Eros Ramazzotti in 1988. This is like the third song that he's been featured on. Seriously, pick other artists. This postcard is the funniest of the group so far. Thank goodness for that. The three gentlemen look like they're having a great time singing the song. The middle singer breaks his performance and laughs as they end the segment, and they pose in silly poses. There are two statues, one of which is the Dioscuri of the Palazzo della Civiltà Italiana. The Palazzo was planned to be opened in 1942 for the World Exhibition, planned as part of a large business center and suburban complex ordered by Benito Mussolini, hoping to showcase it as a symbol of his fascist regime. The World Exhibition was cancelled for obvious reasons, and construction was paused again for obvious reasons. The building sat abandoned until the 1950s, when the area was rebranded as a modern business district in order to break away from the fascist stigma. It eventually opened in 1953, with the statue itself being added in 1942. I unfortunately can't tell what the other statue is due to the poor image quality, but there is a sketch of the same palazzo on the bottom left. It seems to me that it's a bit problematic to be featuring a building that was intended to celebrate fascism, but considering it was never completed due to the war, and the city has worked hard to reclaim the construction as a modern business district, I'll give them a pass. The least controversial thing on this postcard is the group having fun, which I can get behind. The Belgians know how to have a good time, at least in 1991. The 19th postcard features the entrant from Spain. This postcard features Sergio Dalma singing the song Sono Tremendo, originally sung by Rocky Roberts in 1968. Starting with the singer, I am not a fan of his vocal tone. It sounds like he needs to clear his throat of whatever's stuck in there, but perhaps that's his normal voice. Either way, I'll pass. This postcard is equally as frustrating as the German postcard, producing two previously seen images. One of them being the Victor Emmanuel II National Monument, and the other being a sketch of the statue of Capitoloni, She-Wolf. There are some nice flowers, which is the only original thing on this postcard, and I know that the flag shown on the postcard is the civil version, but when it's an international event, don't be lazy and show the flag properly. It's missing the little emblem that's supposed to go on the flag. Another three-rant postcard. Spain gets negative points for this because at least the German entrance sounded nice. Sorry, Spain, but this postcard causes me Spain, without the S. The 20th postcard features the entrant from the United Kingdom. This postcard features Samantha Janus singing the song Ricordati di me, originally sung by Antonio Venditti in 1988. We are at postcard number 20, and it's just like Spain. Too many repeats. Another image of the Villa Borghese as previously shown on the Israeli postcard, and the other image is at least somewhat original, showing the Tiber River, but I can see the Vatican City and Castel Sant'Angelo in the background. I won't rant on that image, But with two postcards to go and still so many more monuments that we haven't seen, I'm not impressed. There are two beautiful flowers on the bottom corner, and Samantha sounds great. Her voice is light. It almost has a pure tone to it. Innocence, and overall, I love it. Of course, the Union Jack flies proudly and prominently on this card, and overall, it's enjoyable, but I'm not loving the repetition. Let's hope there's some originality left for the remaining postcards. The 21st postcard features the entrant of Cyprus. This postcard features Elena Patroclou singing the song Io ci amo solo te, originally sung by Sergio Endrigo in 1962. Goodness, there's mixed results here. The postcard features the Roman Colosseum, which we've already seen again. Yes, it's the most iconic building in Rome and Italy, but come on, originality, people. At least there's the statue of La Bocca della Verità, the Mouth of Truth, which is a marble mass that is believed to have once been part of a fountain or as a drain cover near the Cloaca Maxima. Elena sings her song beautifully and the Cypriot flag is beautifully displayed, but seriously, there should not be repeats at the 21st postcard. Let's hope that there's some originality in the final postcard. The 22nd and final postcard features the entrant of Italy.
Che già eri di un altro, ormai resta solo un bicchiere ed un ricordo da gettare via.
La canzone che ha fatto sognare tantissimi innamorati.
Lo so, mi guardate, lo so,
Peppino.
Mi sembra una pazzia. Cameriere, champagne.
Il grande Peppino.
This postcard features Peppino Di Capri singing the song Champagne, originally sung by Peppo Di Capri in 1973. Why is he singing his own song? Seriously, sing something else. Oh gosh, okay, I've lost count over how many rants and lies that I've had to sit through, and thank goodness that this is the last postcard because I'm literally over it, and I'm sure you are too. There is nothing from Rome that is featured in this postcard, despite the host clearly, or rather unclearly, indicating that it would feature things from Rome. This instead features images of Sanremo, with two of the three images showcasing the Casino Sanremo, the building, and a roulette wheel with the ball landing on 16 red. If it was me, it would have landed on 22 as an Easter egg to represent the 22 entries. But considering how many times I've complained this episode, it's clear that whoever designed these postcards has zero creative skills. The final image is of the Mediterranean coast, which I admit I wish I was there right now. We're at the end of December in Canada, and winter is here to stay for at least 3 to 4 months. This picture looks so warm and inviting. There's also palm trees and the Italian flag with a weird off-red tone that lies in the center, but perhaps it's the video quality that I'm looking at. Peppino sings the song nicely, but of course, the technician fails to mute the microphone. So we keep hearing the hosts talking nonsensical things in the background, with this being a very messy recording. Despite the incompetence of the sound technician, I enjoy his rendition, and his voice is beautifully toned for the song. Although I wish he would open his eyes a bit more. He keeps having them closed, but overall it was a great performance from him. And those are my thoughts on the postcards of the 1991 Eurovision Song Contest. Lots of rants, lots of nitpicking, but overall, most of the artists interpreted their songs beautifully with only a few questionable vocals. And I'm sure to the average viewer, the postcards were nicely done. But as someone who knows better, there were way too many inaccuracies to ignore. Also, the amount of repetition is unacceptable to me, especially when there are so many buildings and places that were ignored. Where were the catacombs of Rome? Via Appia Antica, which is one of the earliest roadways built in the Roman Empire, constructed sometime between 312 and 264 BC. Where were the actual steps of the Spanish Steps? Where was the Circus Maximus, Nero's Domus Aurea, the Palazzo Doria Pamphilj, the Fontana dei Quattro Fiumi, the Museo Nazionale Romano, the Baths of Diocletian, Palatine Hill, Lago di Torre Argentina? I could go on and on. There is zero excuse to have any repeated images in 22 postcards. I'm pretty safe to say at this point, 1991 in the Eurovision Song Contest is the most infuriating contest in history. The postcards, the hosts, the orchestral fail for Greece. Oh, I'm going to be doing an episode on that, believe me. The list of crimes is so long, I'm going to have to take like 6 month breaks in between each episode before I can come back to this. But let me know what you think of the postcards. Did I overreact with my rants, or are my points justified? Be sure to let me know, and I'll remind you at the end of the episode how you can get in touch. Now that we've explored the postcards of 1991, let's calm ourselves down and turn to some Eurovision news coming for 2024. It's time for the Eurovision Report. Moldova's broadcaster TRM has confirmed that their selection process for Eurovision 2024 will be through Etapa Națională, with soloists being required to hold Moldovan citizenship, or if the entry has multiple people, 50% must hold citizenship. Selected acts must be able to fund their participation on their own expense, and withdrawing without a sufficient reason will result in a 2-year sanction from participation in future national finals. As of the release of this episode, a panel of Moldovan and international industry experts will have completed its assessment of submissions, and a shortlist will be produced for live audiences taking place on January 12th, with the top 10 acts advancing to the live final on February 17th. This was reported by Lisa Bird of ESCExtra.com. This has been the Eurovision Report. And now it's time for Song of the Week. This is the part of the show where I share a Eurovision entry that I love listening to, or maybe I hate it. Perhaps I find it bemusing, or it's completely iconic. Let's find out which entry is this week's Song of the Week. This week's Song of the Week is the second entry for Belgium in the very first Eurovision Song Contest in 1956. The entry entitled Le plus beau jour de ma vie, The Most Beautiful Day of My Life, sung by Moni Marc, composer Claude Alix, lyrics David B., conducted by Leo Souris. The placement of this entry is unknown, however, it did place last in the Eurovision Forever project, which I mentioned in the Eurovision Travel Guide episodes. It got a 15 out of 30 from Jack and a 2 out of 30 from Liz. This song is basically a woman recalling the day of her wedding, how she felt on the day, and using multiple artistic expressions to highlight her emotion. I honestly don't have a lot to say on the entry. Her voice is lovely. The lyrics are cliche, of course, to happy married people, your wedding day is probably the best day of your life. As someone who is single, it's just a painful reminder of that singleness, and I'm honestly meh towards the whole thing. There's no video recording of the performance, so I also have nothing to judge in terms of the performance itself. It simply exists. And I understand why this came last in the Eurovision Forever project rankings. Moni Marc gets Song of the Week, although I honestly don't know why. It's simply forgettable. I'm not going to bother to recap my rants on the postcards of the 1991 Eurovision Song Contest, because you already know what I think, but let me know your thoughts. Did I rant too much, or do you think I need to rant even more? Overall, I love the idea of showcasing the music of the host country, especially with the diversity of genres and time periods, but there's such little creativity in the visual elements. Don't get me wrong, there are lazier postcards out there, but the complexity of the postcards is not the issue. It's the quality that just doesn't match the concept. But that's what I think about them. What are your thoughts? If you'd like to get in touch with the podcast, you can reach out on our Instagram page at ESC101podcast. You can also reach out to the podcast by email, ESC101podcast@gmail.com. Be sure to check out the show notes on our website, www.esc101podcast.wordpress.com, where you can see the postcards for yourself. And for those of you on Spotify, be sure to check out our question of the week. Be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on whichever podcast platform you're currently listening on, as it helps us to find more Eurovision fans like yourself discover the history of the Eurovision Song Contest. Next week, we're going to be exploring the life of a Eurovision host, so stay tuned to discover who we're going to be looking at next. You have been listening to ESC 101. See you next time.